Hello.
Hi.
Yes, hi.
Hi. This is not U-Haul.
No, we are a moving company.
Right. Okay, that's what I need. It's not going to work out with U-Haul. Can I get a quote?
Sure. Where are you moving from?
From New York City to San Francisco. I met someone wonderful on the internet. She's lovely, lovely. And I think I'm going to take the leap without even thinking about it, without being sensible. I think I'm just going to take the leap. You know, why use my brains? Just going to go.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay. You spoke to somebody already in our office?
No. This is the first time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, first time. Okay. And what I need, when are you planning on moving?
Right away. She said she can't wait.
Who is she?
The girl that I'm moving in with.
Oh, okay, okay. So what is the list of the furniture that you have?
Sofa, television, bed, kitchen table, and...
Okay, what else?
Coffee table, night tables, two desks.
Okay.
A cello, a tuba, and a spatula.
Okay.
And a piano, and a piano.
And what kind of piano is that?
A grand piano.
Big grand piano, okay. Okay, and how many boxes do you think you're going to have?
200.
I'm asking you all these questions because basically we're charging by the cubic foot.
Okay.
So it's more accurate, you know, things I know what you're moving.
Okay, sure.
Be able to give you the exact price.
Sure, that's fine. I have 11 cats. Can I put them in the truck?
A what? Cat?
Yeah.
No, cats. Animal, you mean? No, we don't.
Can't shove them in there?
No.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, sure.
And when do you want to do the move?
Like right away. Things have been heating up on the phone. I don't think we could wait any longer. Let me ask you a question. Like, you know, when this doesn't work out, when I get there, and it's probably not too long into the future, this won't work out. Do you offer refund insurance?
What? What kind of insurance?
Refund insurance.
What does that mean?
Like lesbian stupidity refund insurance. Like when it doesn't work out.
This. Who is this?
My name
is. Hello.
My name is Sandy. Hi.
Hi, doing Sandy.
Hi. Do you offer a refund for when all of this, you know, crashes in my face? Do you offer refund for that? A refund?
Well, you should know what you're doing beforehand.
Oh, so you think it's stupid what I'm doing?
I don't know what you're doing or what you don't do. I don't get into your business, ma'am. I just, you know, we are a moving company.
Oh, all right. You think I'm stupid.
Okay, Cindy, you want to think about it more if you really want to move? You're moving with this girl to San Francisco?
Yes.
And she's already over there?
Yes.
I got you.
You think it's a bad idea?
I don't know the girl, so I have no clue.
Maybe you should spend some time together before you move in. Maybe this is a bad idea.
Quick.
That is quick, right?
Wow. You already want to move everything. Maybe she's going to come visit you and you can see you're getting alone and then you go from there.
Yeah, yeah. I think you're right.
Well, if you're already not sure of what you're doing, I don't think you should do it.
Yeah, maybe I should think about it. Because you don't offer insurance for its stupidity, so.
This is some kind of joke.
You're the best. Thank you.
Now you're really lesbian?
Mama, can't you see I've always tried to please? I wore ribbons and jewelry and makeup and perfume and dresses down to my knees. You said that it's a phase, just something I'd outgrow. But I got a girlfriend and she's got a lawn that I'd sure like to mow. Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along. But I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong. And I'm a lesbian. I don't like nothing swinging between their legs. Yeah, I'm a lesbian. I don't know why I got gay.
A lazy top. Do you know what I'm saying? I mean, I'm still in charge, but I gotta lie down. And I can't be doing it on the hard surfaces anymore.
I think gay people are getting too nice. The were getting kind of nice. There was that march in Washington. The chants were weird.
What do we want? Permanent normalized trade relations. And after the march, those equal signs appeared everywhere. They were on windows. They were on bumpers. They were... I had a friend who was going down there and a new girlfriend, and... just seemed excessive. But I think we need better chants. We've got terrible chants now. About 5 years ago, I was at the Dyke March in New York City. The march starts off. Behind me, the chant begins. We're dykes! Don't touch us! We'll hurt you! It made me nervous at first, but you know, I've grown to love it. I was at the Home Depot the other day. Homo Depot. I was in aisle 5, nobody was paying attention to me, and I just started. We're dykes! Don't touch us! They're at aisle 5. Get over there right now. We don't know what it is.
Oh, hi. It's just me, Sandy, your host. And this is show number 6 of The Lesbian Mafia. It's just me. I'm breathing into a brown paper bag. I'm having Kate Clinton on the show today. And I'm supposed to be a calm spokesperson. You know, when you want to do this type of thing, you want to interview people that you admire, etc., you have to be a calm spokesperson. I am neither calm nor a spokesperson, okay? And I feel an incredible amount of panic. It's starting somewhere. I'm not sure, but it's going everywhere. You know, the thing about doing this type of thing is it's not the same thing as meeting one of these people that you've admired for like millennia. It's not the same as meeting them after one of their performances or something where you still have this kind of like, oh, wow, that's somebody that I really think is phenomenal. And then you can appreciate their presence. In this position that I'm in right now, and I don't know if you can relate to me or not, but in this position that I'm in right now, I have to control it all. You understand? Like, I have to, like, what do I, how can I possibly, you know what I'm trying to say? Like, just, I really feel like, I don't know, you know, I think this is all, my mother neglected me as a child. I really think that's what this is all about. That's what this is all about. And I don't know. I prepared myself a little, sorta, kinda, not really. I have some questions. Maybe I'll get to them this time. Maybe I won't. We shall see. I have no idea. Like, you never know how these things are going to go. Like, I'm so nervous. Like, I'm so nervous, you know what I mean? Because it's like a new person, too. You know what I mean? I'm shy. You know what I mean? Like, I'm shy. You know, what are you going to do? Do you feel bad for me? Because I want you to feel bad for me. Okay. So I'm done being an ass, for the moment, anyway. And I wanted to say that I did receive my shipment of the Lesbian Mafia t-shirts. And I gotta say, I'm not exactly 100% thrilled. The color is a little off and the work is kind of like, you know, whatever. It's, you know, they're fine. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to move them for $10. That's with shipping included. You'll have them at your doorstep. And I'll put them up online after this weekend. I'll have them up hopefully by Tuesday or Wednesday. I just have to set up a PayPal and all that stuff. I'll put out a bulletin when they're when they're ready. For $10, you'll have them for Pride. They'll be fine. One of my favorite listeners let me know. It's Pensacola Pride this weekend. Last weekend was Long Beach Pride. Next month is New York and San Francisco. So Pride, Pride, Pride. It's a really good time to be gay, to be a lesbian. And I avoid crowds at all costs, so I will not be at the parade. But usually, even when I don't go to the parade, I love the Dyke March just because it's so intense. And, you know, it's like void of advertising, so you feel like you're at this really underground, you know, it's like it's a march, it's not a parade. So it's really intense, but I'm not sure if I'll be able to go catch that. But if there is one in your city, highly recommend it. It's definitely an experience. And so I'm going to be bringing on Kate in just a moment. Definitely give her a look up.
She's had quite an impressive and blessed career, and she is certainly a mentor to me. So without further ado, I'm bringing on Kate Clinton, right? Yeah.
Okay, so hello. So we're on.
Okie doke.
I'm very glad to introduce Kate Clinton to the show.
Come on, say it right. It's a hard name to yell. You can't go, hey, crack. Clinton. When I was teaching high school, my students used to love to carve into their desks, Kate Clitoris. Ms. You. Okay,
so how did you go from teaching to wanting to be a comedian? Where did that happen?
Well, you know, I always wanted to do stand-up comedy, but when I was growing up, you could either be a nurse or a teacher, and I don't do blood. So I became a teacher, and
right. It's
probably where I did some of my earlier shows. And it was the beginning of the comedy cable boom and comedy club rooms and all that. And so I started talking about wanting to try. I just wanted to try stand-up comedy. And I said it one too many times in front of my best friend, and she literally booked me in a club.
Oh, wow.
She said, you're on in a month.
Right.
Yep. And we should all be so lucky to have such friends that take it so seriously.
Yes. And, you know, care about you that much.
Mm-hmm.
And believe in you. Okay, so I do notice that you're in New York City, and my understanding is that you live in Massachusetts.
Well, actually, I have the great good fortune of living in Manhattan, and in July and August, I work in Provincetown.
And we
used to live in Provincetown full-time, but my partner needed more people to boss around,
right. So
we moved to New York.
Okay, so you're around for Gay Pride. Are you doing anything for Gay Pride?
I'm actually going to do the garden party.
Oh.
Which is at the Gay and Lesbian Center. I believe it might be my 20th year. I think I've missed maybe one. And it's really grown. It's wonderful. It's down on the Chelsea Piers. And it's just like a great kind of fair. And it's an amazing organization.
Sure.
The Gay and Lesbian Center in New York probably has 4,000 people who go through their doors every week.
Wow. Okay.
And they have lots of community meetings and 12-step meetings.
Right.
They just do great, great work.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Anything I can do, I emcee that. So I'll be doing that. And then I can't remember, I think that I'm gone for the rally and the march.
Okay.
But I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I know.
It's okay.
Once on the Rocky Horror Show float.
Uh-huh.
They did the Rocky Horror Picture Show on Broadway.
Yes.
And I took over Dick Cavett's role for a while he took a vacation.
Mm-hmm.
And I rode on the float. Nobody else in the cast rode on the float. It was a total setup. And it was sponsored by, like, Stoli Vodka or something.
Yeah.
And it was, like, all the people that, like, dress in Rocky Horror Picture Show outfits.
Wow.
All the time.
Yeah.
It was like, whew, and then they got drunk. I got off the float at about 14th Street. They didn't even know I was gone. Excuse me, going to get on the subway now.
So you went from the float to the subway?
I did. They didn't even notice. Where is she? Ah.
Okay, so you want to talk about your new show, Climate Change?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it's called...
That's okay.
Hard sound.
Don't worry about it.
Yeah. I believe it's because Donald Trump is building everywhere near my, and I just hate it so much. But anyway, it's called Climate Change, which certainly is descriptive. We have global warming and inconvenient truths galore. But I also think that political climate is changing. So it's descriptive in that way, but it's also kind of prescriptive, which is change the climate. Come on.
Right. Wonderful. So what are the highlights, some of the main features? And
well, you know, my show is always sort of like a newspaper. It has news of the day, it has local news and a national and international, certainly sports and, you know, talk about the media and, of course, a loaded opinion area. And so it's like that. So by the time, I mean, who knows, Jerry Falwell died, like, damn it, I'm not on the road.
I read your blog on your website.
And oh, thank you.
Yes, you're very welcome. It was hilarious.
Thanks. Well,
it doesn't sound like you're mourning or anything.
I thought everybody was entirely too kind. You know, I just thought he was a monster. He caused the brutalization of gay people. And all these lardy-dar like, well, he established a wonderful church. In private, he was a bit of a jokester. Like, who cares?
Right.
Hitler was fun, too, maybe. You know, but it was awful. He made our lives a living hell. And it trickles down when you have that kind of virulent homophobia at the top. It just trickles down. And
right.
I just thought they gave him such an easy pass. I kept thinking, who are they talking about?
Right, right. The way they talk about him, like, it's shocking.
He was a monster.
Yeah.
Nothing ever goes far enough. For me, like, the Democrats now are going to, in regard to Alberto Gonzalez, they're going to do, like, a vote of no confidence? What is that about? Hang him. You know, that's really entirely too kind. I mean, the man has been involved in Republican voter fraud. I mean, Republicans act like they care about voter fraud just because there's not enough of it, you know. And they're going to do a vote of no confidence. What about impeaching? I just, it's like, right. Is everybody just totally wimped out?
What, have we just lost any kind of, just totally apathetic, right, to everything?
Well, you know, if you flipped it over, and if this were Republicans, they would be calling for blood. Too nice.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think it's time for no more Mrs. Nice Gay, and let's get going.
Right, right. You know, and speaking of climate change and that type of thing, what's the political climate like in Massachusetts right now?
Well, everybody's on pins and needles. They do have a wonderful new governor, Deval Patrick, and he says and does all the right things. He's really an amazing, really exciting new governor, and especially after Mitt Romney, who was so hateful.
Mm.
So they're really quite excited to have him, and he's really trying to, there's like 8 legislators who could get the gay marriage thing on the ballot, and that's just what they're trying to avoid. So there's lots of really intense lobbying, and I don't know, I'll give you a war memorial if you'll just give me this vote. You know, so there's a lot going on, and I think it's middle of June they'll decide.
Okay, so it's hopeful?
Well, we all have to be hopeful. What it is again and again, this conversation that we're having about gay and lesbian human rights.
Right.
And this is a manifestation in the state of Massachusetts. So I think it's good. I wouldn't cross those Massachusetts radicals, let me tell you. They will get out. It's an old tradition, and it's not going to be dumping tea this time.
Right, right. Okay, so let me just transition here just a little, and, which I'm really bad at. This, I'm doing terribly.
I call it a show. You go ahead.
Okay, who's your favorite comedian right now? Do you have one?
Right now, I would say that the first 15 minutes of Jon Stewart saved my life.
Wow, okay.
And his writers, although primarily white men, get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they're really doing a great public service. I think they're really showing people, young and old, how to take apart a news story and how to, you know, the thing is that they used to teach in communications classes and rhetoric classes and civics classes. He basically does on a nightly basis.
Mm-hmm.
And think that he's funny.
And he's brilliant. Right?
And he's got great writers, and he delivers it.
Mm-hmm.
And I love some of the new correspondents. The British guy, I've always loved Samantha Bee. And there's a Steph Mongey, I think, or something. He does all the Mideast reporting.
Okay.
Great.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Fabulous.
Really? Okay. And how about, do you have any female or lesbian comics that you like, anybody right now that's out there?
I'm really enjoying Rosie O'Donnell on The View.
You better believe it.
You know, I mean, I think that it's really lovely to see her unleash and how nervous that makes men.
Right.
You know, Donald Trump, I mean, he's all a flutter and, you know, an O'Reilly. And it's just because a woman is speaking her truth. It's just fabulous.
Right.
And I thought her presence there made Joy Behar shine, because Joy is really, really funny.
She's hilarious.
And, you know, Rosie can do like a paragraph and Joy can just do one line and you're done.
Right, right, right.
And so I completely enjoyed that. And it was great to see Rosie so free with her opinions.
Yeah, she's fantastic. How do they manage to give her such a hard time? Is it just the fact that she's a woman, that's it, the end?
I don't know if you read that other blog that I mean, you know, Ellen is like confined to her hospital bed with a back injury, but she does her show, you know, like, which gives you an idea of how tentative and tenuous women's place on television is. She can't even, like, not be on the show for 4 days, afraid somebody will take it over while she's gone, you know.
We do have that problem, don't we?
Yeah. I mean, I would love to see Rosie have, like, a late night show.
I thought, and I'm not positive, but I thought that I heard she's going to be doing HBO. Is that totally, am I crazy?
I haven't heard that, but okay. I mean, I hope so, because I think that this whole, like, well, you can only have estrogen on during the day and testosterone late at night. That's how it is. That's how it's always been. So, I, you know, Rosie's got enough testosterone to be on late at night.
Yes, she definitely does.
Mm-hmm.
I was on her her cruise, her first one.
Oh,
that she,
great.
Yeah, I had such a ball on there, and she was she was just hanging around with everyone. It was just, she was, okay.
Yep.
So let me, I noticed also on your website, you want to tell us where we can find you on the web?
Oh, sure. You can find me at kateclinton.com. I'm the probably one of the oldest people on YouTube. Actually, it's the granny corner, and they're like, what the heck? She's old. And, but you can go to YouTube or MySpace.
Right. And that, is that Kate Clinton on MySpace?
Yep. Mm-hmm. And kateclinton.com is my website.
Wonderful. So, and I noticed on your website, under the frequently asked questions, that one of your career goals is to end the oppression of women.
Yep.
And the other one was to be a hint in a crossword puzzle
in the New York Times crossword puzzle. It is a goal of mine that you could just see, you know, humorous blank Clinton. Oh, that would be so fabulous. That would be like,
your job would be done then.
Yeah. I would be happy.
You could stop all of the activism,
put my feet up. Yep, put my hands behind my head.
Do you want to tell me a little bit about the first part of that, ending the oppression of women?
I've got a couple more years left on that one.
Right.
Well, you know, I came out of feminism in the early 70s. I'd been in upstate New York. I was an English teacher. My family's very middle class, lovely people, white, but very conservative, really. And, I mean, I'm in triumph, really. And what turned my head around was feminism. I started to read people like Mary Daly and Adrienne Rich and women writers. You know, I mean, because I was an English major, and I kept thinking, now, just tell me again what is so quintessentially American about hunting a whale that I seem to be reading. I said everybody was going to Florida for spring break, and I was always reading that damn book. But, you know, with that feminism, I also started to read women writers, and it just really ripped the top of my head off. And basically, you know, I think feminism is the philosophy and lesbianism is practice, but I really feel like in a lot of ways we have to get back to that, you know, not in a step back, but, you know, but if it's good for women, it'll be all right for the rest of the world. And for 2,000 and whatever, how many years, men have been in charge, men have been running things, and if this is the best they can do, then it's time to step away from this particular vehicle, and let's just let women do it. And we're going to be able to watch how hateful and nervous they can be about relinquishing power if Hillary runs.
Right. Absolutely. You know, this is going to be one dirty, dirty election.
And I am ready to pull hair, so I am.
So what would be your one, like, what's your message to the gay community and lesbians in particular in relation to feminism?
My message, what I learned in feminism is that I am a part of history. And I think one of the things that we have learned, the sad things we've learned from George Bush, one of the many, but one of the also interesting things is that one person can change the world.
Right.
And if you were thinking it's not possible, then just look at the damage this guy's done. It could go the other way. We could do good things. And so I think that my message to lesbians is that we're part of history and we can change things. And it means more than sending an email. You know, forwarding an email. I think if a radical revolutionary act involves more than the three senses, it's a good one. You know, I really love direct action. We used to do great direct action, you know, witty and humorous and just gum up the works. I think Massachusetts is very good at that, and I just think we need to return to that. It doesn't take, like, we don't need another March on Washington. We need about 50 lesbian SWAT team people to just really cause some hell. It's fun. It's sexy.
It is sexy, and how do you make, like, how do you talk about feminism without making people uncomfortable? How do you do that?
Well, I don't mind making people uncomfortable.
Mm.
I don't want to make them so uncomfortable they're paralyzed and they can't do anything. But, you know, because that can happen. But, you know, I went in New York there at the Brooklyn Museum. There's an incredible exhibit called Global Feminisms.
Mm-hmm.
And they also have a permanent installation of the Judy Chicago Dinner Party,
mm-hmm.
which is a piece of history. And the exhibit on global feminisms was like a lot of work. It was difficult. It wasn't celebratory. It wasn't witty.
Mm-hmm.
It just wasn't sexy, and I just was like, oh, please.
Right.
I love to go places where girls are in lingerie screaming, you know, and just, like, carrying on and making a ruckus. And I just think we need to do that. I mean, I find it appalling that the Supreme Court, 8 men and 1 tiny woman, 5 of them decided women are incapable of making decisions about their own bodies and in this so-called partial birth, and it really is about late-term abortions. They act as if it's like, oh, look, I'm looking out. Oh, I'm looking right down the corner. Look, there's a partial birth abortion going. There's 2 of them. I mean, they acted like they were, like, happening all the time. 2,000 happened in the country.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't they act like gals are doing it left and right?
Right, you know, right, like, right. Like,
honey,
it's something.
I'm going out to pick up some groceries. Got to get the laundry. Got to have a partial abortion. What do you want for dinner? You know, it was like, what? And so these guys, 5 of them, got rid of the concern about the health of the mother, by the way. They decide.
Mm.
And Kennedy, who writes the decision, he says that it was, like, so paternalistic. It was like, well, the little ladies, this is a terrible thing. And the little ladies, they have a lot of regret when they do it. Well, if we're going to base Supreme Court decisions on women's regret, please, you know, I'm sorry, I had my hair cut that way. Can I call you? Please. It's just insane.
I'm trying to think
of something that, you know, like, if you wonder about whether this presidential election is important, it's important because it has to be a Democrat who decides who the next 2 Supreme Court people are. Because if this is a more solid court with right-wing nut jobs, we're doomed.
Right.
How far away was that from your question?
Not far
I don't
at
know.
All.
One time a friend of mine and I were out for a walk, and she said, who are you going to vote for president? And an hour later, I told her. She never let me forget it. Because I just was like, blah, 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 well, but then there's blah, 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 blah. And she said, so, it's not all about the soundbite. I'm out of control.
And I had a question. I just lost it about abortion.
I know.
Oh, how is it? Sometimes I feel like I'm the only person that's mad about this, and maybe people like Mary Daly and you. You know what I mean? And maybe Rosie.
Yeah.
Well, you're not. Mm.
You're absolutely not.
Mm-hmm.
But it's never covered. We're not organized enough. I think the mainstream, and they are mainstream, the mainstream women's reproductive people are just that, mainstream. Let's just think of it this way. Right now, what would the opposite be? It would be like 5 women on the court, and we decide without consulting men or anything what's best for them, and we're just going to have to castrate them all. You know, like, tell me there wouldn't be a little hue and cry from the boys. Here is Supreme Court Chief Justice Lorena Bobbitt. You know, on.
Right, that is the equivalent of half of these people,
you know,
there, right?
But, you know, I think a lot of it is women are doing twice as much work as men.
Right.
You just read the statistics, and women are just doing it all. So who's got time?
Right.
That's why we need childless lesbians out there.
Oh, my God, that was great. Okay, yes. I love it. This is just, I'm like in heaven right now. Okay, so, and I need to make a transition here. So,
all right, darling.
What I want to know is, when I think of you, this is the first thing that comes to my head, is how have you sustained this long-term relationship you've been in with Irva Shih?
Mm-hmm. How have we done it? Well, you know, I think we're... I really love her. I like her more every day. It's the wackiest thing. Sort of like when you're, you know, you're at a dinner party and it looks like everybody at the other table's having a much better time.
Is that
you? I feel like I'm at the right table when I'm with her.
Oh, wow, wow.
And she's smart. She's really sexy. And we're really the marriage of comedy and tragedy, and I'm not telling you which one is which, depending on the day.
Do you have any sexual positions you'd like to recommend? How to keep the embers burning?
At home. Which is very exciting for us. Hey, we're together. Yippee!
What's the key? What's the key? I mean, because you can feel that way, but there can still be problems. And
I think that my family, which is an Irish Catholic family, was if you had an emotion, you had to go to your room. Her family is Indian, from India, and they are really explosive, and they just, like, blow, and then it's over.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the key to success in our relationship is not only our wide differences, but also, I would say mostly just a willingness to talk, you know, and not, like, just you think you're saying it. You know, like, sometimes when I'm talking with her and I think, well, in this part of this scene, I should be saying... Well, that's it. I never want, you know, but actually I really do care and I'd really like to get through this, you know.
Mm.
It's sort of like really trying to be as truthful as you can. And that means time, it means paying attention, it means hiding the BlackBerry.
And communication.
And willingness, you know. I'm really willing to do stuff that I guess that's love. Sometimes I say to her, honey, I would not do this with anybody else, so I must love you. This is a lot of work. It's not always work, and it's not all work, but there is work to it,
right.
No doubt.
So did you just get lucky and happen to find somebody with the right qualities that
totally
fit?
Totally. Absolutely. I mean, let me look down the street here in New York now. There's thousands of people that I would find her. That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm really lucky.
Yes, that's fantastic.
Mm-hmm. Call me and remind me, like, later tonight when she can't figure out how to, you know, put dinner in. She's brilliant, but if you think she can figure out how to put the pillows on the bed right, just one time. No, that looks good. No, honey, that's not it at all.
So what are you going to be doing after this show?
Probably another one. And, you know, I've been writing. I've got a couple of gay and lesbian film festivals that are happening that are going to do a video or film of my 25th anniversary show.
And
so a lot's happening. The best part is I don't have to be there. I love that about this media thing. Although, I love live performance. There's no doubt about it. But
and that's where you really do shine. You're incredible.
When I'm circling Newark, I think, I hate it. But it's cool.
You know, Kate, this has been really an amazing moment for me to be able to get you on here. You're just... You know what I'm saying here.
I'm hearing you. And you were great. Don't you even think about it.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah,
thank you.
I mean, like, sometimes people interview and you say things and they act, you know, it's like, well, I better not laugh. Like, hello. Help me out here. But just keep doing it.
Thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
So, luckily for me, Kate was kind enough to be gentle and made it so much easier than it normally would have been for me. I've since put away my brown bag. I feel calm now and, you know, peaceful. And I just want to say, for me, and I don't know if it is for you or not, but it's just so refreshing to hear people making some kind of sense when they talk. Not full of animosity and hatred. Just normal, sane human beings. Instead of listening to everything else that's going on in the media, like, every other word is something so hateful towards women. And this whole new wave of comedy that's out now with all these new guys. And now it's, like, cool to really hate women, like, 10 times more hostile than they've ever been. And it's not even funny. And I am certainly not a prude by any means. But they're just so mean, like mean-spirited. And this is not a problem for anyone. No one feels degraded by this. I mean, am I crazy? Sometimes I feel like I am crazy. Am I the only one that thinks this is bizarre? That the only minority, even though we're half the race, but we're treated like a minority. The only people that you can talk negatively about and use slander to refer to them are women. And nobody's mad, not even women. And even women like doing this to other women. Am I crazy? I must be crazy. Where's my paper bag? Because... And you talk about feminism and people roll their eyes. I find it shocking how disinterested even women are in the topic. It's shocking to me. And it really shocks me when lesbians in particular don't have any sense of where they are in this world. And they're so oblivious to it that they don't even know when they're being discriminated against. They don't even know. I'm not saying they start getting nuts, but for the love of God. Instead, you know, lesbians, we're too busy going to the bars, getting drunk, trying to make out with somebody in the corner who's probably got a girlfriend. I'm not saying get obsessed with the cause or anything, because it's not in everyone to be that way. But, Jesus Christ, be aware. Now, I mean, most of the women that I meet, they haven't read one book on anything that has to do with feminism, as if misogyny does not exist. If you pretend it's not there, then maybe it doesn't exist. Read Susan Faludi's Backlash, and then give me a call. We'll talk. All right, so I've had enough complaining now. Anyway, so thank you very much for listening to this show. And if you need to get me, for now, the easiest place to get me is on MySpace at The Lesbian Mafia Show. And I look forward to hearing from you. And I would like to thank Kate Clinton for taking time out of her very busy schedule to be on the show. And you could find her at kateclinton.com. And I will talk at you again very soon. Thanks. Bye-bye.
Where I come from, which is the old Blue Baltimore Catechism days, you couldn't just say you're sorry. You had to do some things. Isn't that right? You couldn't just talk the talk, honey. You had to walk the walk. So if the Pope is going to apologize for things, he's got to do some things, I think. And one of the things he could do is let the gay people march in the St. Patrick's Day parades. Which drives those old Irish guys crazy, doesn't it? Oh, no, we can't let the gay people march in the parade this year. Not again, no. They'll be wearing the little buttons that say, tongue me, I'm Irish. No. That little sign over there, suck my shillelagh. No. Carrying the big banner that says, Cunnilingus is not an airline.
Please, Mama, can't you see? I've always tried to please. I wore ribbons and jewelry and makeup and perfume and dresses down to my knees. You said that it's a phase, just something I'd outgrow. But I got a girlfriend and she's got a lawn that I'd sure like to mow. Go on and wish that Brad Pitt would come along. But I prefer Madonna in a lacy thong. Complaints from Lou Diamond Phillips' wife. And I'm a lesbian, I'd rather be with Jane and Dick. Yeah, I'm a lesbian, a penis doesn't do the trick. When we go in for 69, I know hers is the same as mine. Hide your wives, 'cause here I come.
When does cheerleading practice start? Hey there, cutie.